Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Was a time in their life, amen. I was bringing a boat across, coming across part of the Bermuda Triangle, coming off one of the Caribbean islands out there, the Bahamian island, I should say. Had one engine out and one engine still working. I'm heading across, and all the radios were stolen out of this boat. They were trying to steal the boat, and I thought, you know, I'm a pretty good navigator, you know, and I thought, well, I'll take this thing, get it out of here. They were trying to steal it. They done stole our crew cab, dually truck. A lot of these other governments are pretty corrupt. They stole our crew cab dually, stole all the radios out of our boat that was in our house. They stole everything, cleaned us out. They were looking for the boat, but we had the boat in the mechanic shop. So I thought, well, I'm going to get this thing out of here. So I headed for the U.S. Bad storm. These guys with these big boats, it was a 40-foot boat, but the guys with 65-foot, 80-foot boats are coming back in. They said, man, it's too rough. They said, you need to go back. And I said, no, I'm heading out. And they said, no, you don't need to do that. And I pointed at 270 heading west. I'm thinking, I know that peninsula's big down there. And I started heading across. No nothing in that boat. No life vest. No none. Had a kid from me with California, scared to death. Water's crashing over the boat, over our heads. We're soaking wet. Waves, and I mean, we're down in the bottom of the swell, back up in the top. The compass is rolling so bad, didn't have any other means. Had a Loran, it was taken out. That was back in them days before the GPSs. And I thought, Jesus, help me. And I was a heathen. Man, Lord God, help me. But I'll tell you what, I remember when I first seen some light coming off that east coast. It was getting dark and heading and heading and heading, and all of a sudden I seen light. I think I was singing, thank God for the lighthouse. Amen. Amen. Oh, boy. But, you know, I think of people in times of such, you know, storms of life. And I get a hold of that lighthouse of the Lord. Amen. Find some light in Christ. Light has to do with understanding. A lot of times we miss the revelation of things, but we are the children of light. You know why we're children of light? because we have an understanding. We've passed from death unto life. The Bible said we know we've passed from death life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren because we realize that they are the light of the world. And if we can't love our brethren, we're going to hell. You have to love the brethren. And the only reason a man can't love the brethren, you know what the reason is? Because they're so in love with themselves, they're thinking so highly of themselves, they can't love nobody else. Amen. There ain't anything worse to be than that. There is nothing more tormenting, more vexing. But the Bible said we're supposed to be the least. And when a man comes to know, say, God, I'm the least. Even if you let me in your kingdom, Lord God, it's by your mercy and grace. And when a man numbers himself to be at the least, it's real easy to love everybody else. Because you esteem, like the Bible said, your brethren greater than yourself. And that's a revelation. When a man don't come to that, Brother Bo, he will perish. When a man's so considered in his own thoughts and his own ways all the time, he is most miserable. Man's got to get delivered. Amen. Get set free. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Amen. May just share some things with you this evening and talk about some things with you, possibly. You know, I preach. I'm wear it out. I get up here and burn it up, man. You say, oh, boy, you think you're something? No. I know what the Holy Ghost does. He comes to bring the word, amen. And it's going to bring a rod of correction, a sword of the Spirit. It's going to bring edification, exhortation, or comfort. You know, we got to find a balance in that. Brethren want to feed people. But sometimes got to get the people out of the way that the Spirit could be fed. Amen. When a man's eating the word and bringing it in his intellectual mind, he's the most dangerous reprobate you'll ever find. He'll quote the Bible to you, has all the answers, but he's a reprobate because he's never learned to live right, brother. Never. Never learned to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Say, reprobate's a strong, strong term, my friend. And I said, it's a strong thing to burn in hell in your own ways, in your own ideas, in your own ministry, in your own thoughts. I tell you, the ways of man leadeth to destruction. It's death, my friend. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, I thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, known I'm the least of these men here, but Father, I'm asking you to speak through this vessel, Lord God. Father, to reach to them that are bound and lost, Lord God, and snared by the enemy in their own deceit of their own mind and own thoughts. Continually evil and wicked, divisive, Father, help us. I thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the bondage of death and carnality. Father, help me to remain and to walk in thy Spirit. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a call today, and looks like one of the wardens in prison over in Georgia, right on the coast there, where Brother Steve's at, is going to open up an opportunity for us. They're going to give us a day, and they're going to call it a Kairos day. But they're going to let us bring food in, instruments, music, plan on feeding, they said, 150 men. Looks like this is going to take place over in about June. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I love it. Lord, give me liberty. I could maybe share some things with you about our little tractor over here, man. Praise God. What an awesome thing. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Got all the new parts ordered today. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Sometimes the fire comes. He said he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. You see, well, that Holy Ghost fire don't bring destruction. You ain't been born again or saved, if you can say that. Because he'll chasten you with the fire, boy. And I mean, it'll bring some wrath and some fire down on your head. And you'll think you're burned up with no hope. Amen. Amen. And we just keep pressing. And may we find the restoration and the restoring. Amen. Pretty awesome things in the mind of Christ. I love allegories and types and shadows. And I find that many times people get so wrapped up in them, they miss the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They miss it totally altogether. Amen. Wonderful things in the kingdom. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture to you out of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Very spoke about set of scriptures here, but Ephesians 6, the 12th verse says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." If I didn't finish reading that scripture, I said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So what does it mean when we wrestle against flesh and blood? What does it mean? Sometimes we read the scriptures and we fail to perceive, to understand, comprehend the Word of God. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt up with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You know, brethren, I think about a young man goes in the army. Army's changed a lot in the last few years. My father was in World War II and the Korean War. He shared a lot of things with me about Ranger training and boot camp. Said the things that they had to endure and the things that they did. Because we got a bunch of pretty boy preachers today, and they pet and pamper people in such a way. You won't hear me speak against the army of Christ. Listen to me. The army of the Lord. But this so-called counterfeit army that call themselves the army of God are a bunch of wimps. Christianity in America is a bunch of sissies. Now, I know I sound crude, brethren. But I mean, they don't have any endurance whatsoever at all. They don't know how to endure the hardship of a good soldier. Preacher might say something, cross them up a little bit. I don't like this army. But I think about a young man that's really drafted into the army, or a young man that goes and joins. It's like, uh-oh. Once they sign that thing, they're there. They can cry, whimper. One thing they can't do is run. Boy, they'd like to. Speaking with an army chaplain, fellowshipped with him, drove 3 hours, two and a half hours or so down there to counsel him. He said, "I want some counsel outside the army. I'm sick of this, the ministry of the army." He had an awesome ministry. He said, "These poor young kids, they're 17, 18-year-old kids, and they just, they've never been away from home, and here they are. And now they got some guy in their face, man, and they're doing this, and he's counseling, helping them, strengthening them, encouraging them. Awesome ministry. But they made them to be men. You realize that? They take and make them into men. Now let's talk about God. Again, you hear me say this scripture oftentimes about the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things that appear. In other words, I could look at the natural army, and if I look at it by the mind of God, I could see a revelation of God's army. To despise not the chastening. To endure hardship like a good soldier. Why? Because this is what molds us and strengthens us. I used aviation. I said, "Hey, if I'm going to teach you how to fly, we're not going to get in there and just fly an airplane around, and you could just say, 'Boy, this is a lot of fun.' I'm going to put the airplane in adverse conditions. I'll make you close your eyes and pull a hood on you. A hood is a thing that veils that you can't see outside the airplane. All you can see is the instrument panel. It's adverse conditions sometimes when you're flying and you're a fair weather, sunny day pilot, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the clouds. All of a sudden the clouds closed up underneath you and you can't see the ground or nothing. You better know how to fly that airplane without seeing. So that's an adverse condition possibly. But then you take the airplane and say, close your eyes, put your head down, and you might turn it over. You might put it in a spin. You might put it in a climb right ready to stall. And you have them with their eyes closed. Open your eyes and recover this airplane. So they're going to have to look at the instruments. And there's some things they're going to have to do real quick. Adverse conditions. So as a pilot, when you're training somebody to be a pilot, you put them in adverse conditions. You don't wait until the real emergency happens. You take it under conditions of everything going seem to be fine, and you start teaching them to endure hardship, training them how to fly an airplane in terrible condition. I remember when I got my multi-engine license, you can get a single engine, and then after you get that, you can proceed on to get a multi-engine airplane with more than one engine. Has different characteristics of flight, different kind of trainings, different type of things. And I said, why are they getting me a multi-engine? I've been flying this two-engine airplane around with one engine for all this time. You understand what I'm saying? But no, we're going to talk about God, and he's just going to pamper you and powder your little diaper and put more powder on you and just, you know, oh, he's not going to put you through no adversity. Come on, man. Saints, come on. Let's get real. What kind of God are we serving? Let me tell you something. When you go into the army, you know what the drill sergeant does? He says, shut up, mama's boy, you little sissy. You're not going to go home and nurse mama no more. You're a man now. Shut your face. Get down and give me 50. Get down and give me 100. Quit your whining. Come on now. So you want to be a fighter, huh? So now all of a sudden you come in and I say, all right, I'm your sparring partner. I start teaching you how to stand. Smack and slap you across the face. Hey, come on, dude. Hey, yeah, maybe you'll learn to keep your guard a little better. What do you want your sparring partner to do? Put his hands in his pocket and let you just slap him around? Oh, you're a tough guy, ain't you? Go get you a punching bag. That's what I think about a man who punches on his wife. Sissy sucker, let's get him with a man. Why don't you slap me like you slap your wife? Huh? Come on. Stinking coward. That's what they are when they do that. But we're talking about soldiers for Christ now. We're talking about in the training of God's army. We're talking about God raising up men. Men of valor, men of honor. Devout men. And you find when you get in God's program, you're going to find that he's going to start making you into a man. Amen? You know, I see guys, and, you know, Brother Jeff would be one, knowing you go and you do prison ministry, you got these guys, man, hey, man, don't you get in my way. And they'll get in a position in the prison where you got to go around them. They're going to see how you do it, and they'll try to, I'm not going to say torment, but they want to press you. They want to try to provoke you. Just a devil. But they think they're bad. And you know, when you look at them by the Spirit, they've never been in a fight. Oh, they might six guys jump on a guy and beat him up and bust his head, and a bunch of guys get together. That's the beast. That's the animal way. They ain't men. They're sissies. They won't go one-on-one. They're going to get a group of them. Because they're sissies, that's why. Oh, you wouldn't tell them that if you was in there, Brother Rob. I'd probably be like Brother Steve, man. You'd be getting reports of my head getting busted open by 10 of them at a time. Because I just ain't too good at that stuff. But when I say sissies, it doesn't matter if he's got a martial art degree. It doesn't matter if he could beat my hind end in. He's still a sissy. Because he's absolutely being molested by every demon, foul spirit that there is. In the prison system, they'll watch these men take other men off into their room. They know what they're doing. Sodomy. And they'll look at them, they'll number them. That guy's a sissy. That guy's a pervert or whatever. Some of them, they think, some of the guys that take them in there think they're bad or masculine. I know this is perversion, man. But I have a purpose here of what I'm saying. These men are defiled and perverted and sick, yes. But you see, we're talking about a perversion of something we see, but there's a spiritual perversion that's worse. Spiritual wickedness, spiritual perversion, spiritual principalities, spiritual powers, the invisible principalities and power. A man would think he's tough, he would think he's bad, I ain't gonna take nothing from nobody, and go around with this, what he would call a masculine spirit, but you look at him by the Spirit and you see him totally different. Remember having a vision of Brother Dell? He don't think he'll mind me sharing this. This was 17, 18, 19, maybe 20 years ago. Dell's been a big boy, still a big boy. Lumberjack, they're pretty tough guys. I went up in the woods with him. He was up at probably 8,000 feet or something above Lake Tahoe, and I know it's 6,000. Hey, I tell you what, you're pretty tough just to walk in the mountains, man. But the sucker gave me a V8 engine to carry on my shoulder, called it a chainsaw. Little exaggeration there. Had a bar about from here to that wall, and he says, you carry that up there. You know, we're supposed to use it when we get to us, plumb tuckered out by the time we got up to where we was going at. Yeah. Pretty tough. But I saw in a vision of him, and he was being chased across the church parking lot by a little chihuahua. And I'm watching this thing in amazement, thinking, this big old masculine guy, turn around and kick him in the teeth. Just turn around and kick the little dude. You ever seen a grown man scream like a woman and a little mouse running across the floor? Trying to understand spirits now. Me and my son, I just put a new heads on a guy's van for him. Had it in the shop, and the hood was up. And in the van, you know, he had a cover. It opened up to the inside. The hood's open and stuff. Got the inside cover off. Well, little kid, about this big. I mean, little old guy. He got up in this car. I don't care. It's a little old harmless kid. I'm going down the road 65 miles an hour doing the test drive of this thing. And you ain't ready for something drop out from under the dash. I tell you what, you thought I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I screamed like a woman. My son's screaming. We're both screaming. He's kicking his feet and about to stomp this poor kid to death. I just seen something in my peripheral. And I mean, it just ain't supposed to be. He screams, I scream. He jumps up in the stinking seat after kicking and everything. I can't do that. I'm driving. Man, I slid the car to a stop. He opens the door, little kid, and runs off. But could you imagine? A little old tiny kid, and here's two grown men screaming. You know? Well, he was a kid still. I was the grown man. Embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah, I'm macho. Hey, don't mess with me. You know? One more little story just to make a point here. We got a friend, I can call him by name, raised up in the Gaines in one of the most rough areas of New York City. This guy been in Gaines, he'd been in prison, got arrested. Him and his brother both did some state prison or federal prison time, robbery, different things. They called him Skeeter when he was in prison. I don't know, I guess Skeeter sucked blood. I don't know why they called him Skeeter. But probably a guy like me would have probably went up and pulled a knife out on him. Come on, white boy, what you going to do with that? What you going to do with that? Come on. You know, it wouldn't even faze him. But we was on a job working one day, and I picked up a 3-inch grasshopper that big. He's over there painting, and I took this grasshopper, and I put this thing on his belly. I thought he got the Holy Ghost. He danced and screamed and hollered. He turned as light as color as I am. You think I'm kidding? And then he grabbed his chest. His heart started hurting. He had to sit down, catch his breath. I felt terrible bad. But you know, so now we're going to have the white rednecks against the black gang guys. Andy's going to go with a shotgun. Bo's going to go with a billy club. Dell's going to have a switchblade. I'm going with a grasshopper, man. Get that dude away from me. Knives don't bother him, but a grasshopper. You know? Little old grasshopper. And this guy just deathly afraid of him. See a grown man run from a spider? What are you saying, Brother Ron? You know, the thing is we're looking at the natural things, trying to understand a spiritual revelation. And when we come to know who we are in Christ, the enemy's going to flee, brother. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee. But we fail to do the two things. We fail to draw nigh unto God and we fail to resist the devil. His devices aren't new. His tactics aren't new. His means to make a man fail have been the same through generation after generation after generation. And if we could get the shucks off of our eyes and we could learn to see what he's doing, then we could learn to fight and to make a stand. Many times we fail in the same failure over and over and over again. We have a saying here in Christian Temple, I'm sure originated at a place called Little Bethlehem, but we say, ride the trail again. I shared with you, I stood with a man right outside the door there, crying. Man, bawling. He said, Brother Rob, I've caused you so much problem. I've lied. I've lied against you. I've made up lies about you. And you're just opening up the door, letting me in here. And I said, that's because I love you. And he goes, I don't know how you could do that. And I said, but sir, I owe this to tell you. We're going to ride the trail again. The very thing that caused you to fail, caused you to leave this work, we're going to ride that trail again. You know why? The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. Do you think that we're going to repent or recognize where we failed at and then we're just going to go on from that and not come again? Absolutely not. Let me tell you something. When I'm going to teach you to fight and be a fighter. Okay, now we can look at it natural or physical or however you want to look at it or spiritual. But the thing is if I'm your sparring partner, I'm trying to teach you to get you into a champion fight, you know, and you're squared up there and this and that, and I break through your guard and put you on your hind end. Oh, I see what happened, man. And then we analyze it. Man, I see what happened. You know, man, when I was moving my foot back like that, boy, you got me right there, Brother Rob. Right when my weight was shifted, knocked me on my tail. Okay, you understand that now? Guess what? I'm going to be looking for the same thing again. I'm going to be looking you in the eye, and I'm going to be watching where that feet's at, and I'm going to do the same thing again. And you know what you're going to have to learn? And I'm going to keep knocking you on your duffel bag until you learn. Because that's what I'm trained to do. I'm going to keep on knocking you on your duffel bag and keep on knocking you and keep on knocking you. And you're going to do one of two things. You're going to say, I ain't cut out to fight. Or you're going to learn. The Bible said we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Oh, but we just want to pray. Oh, God, remove this cup from me. Oh, God, make everything just perfect. You're a sissy. He ain't going to do that. He's going to slap you. You say, I just don't see God doing that. Well, now, wait a second. We see the drill sergeant to make men to fight in a natural war. We see him, shut your mouth, punk, and get down and give me 50. He said, you're not going to eat this morning until you run 5 miles. They take your sovereignty away from you. Now, if they do that in a natural army, what about in God's army? I do what I want to do. I'll do it if I feel like it. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. I'm my own man. You're on your way to hell. Thus saith the Lord. Prophesy you on the way to hell. Because you ain't going to do it. The Bible said to enter into his kingdom, you got to become as a child. Let me tell you, I've raised 4 children. I never had one of them come tell me what they was going to do. I knew it was the devil when that happened. Old kid wants to. A kid wants to tell you what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, but you say, no. You might have had the desire, if you're a real father or mother, you might have had the desire for that child to do the very thing they wanted to do, but when they come to you and say, guess what I'm going to do, Dad? Well, that's what you was going to do, but you ain't going to do it now. Your little spirit ain't right. So now you're going without. See, that's called training. That's called teaching. That's called observing. That's called being a father. That's called being a mother. You know, as a good mother or a good father, I know that these reprobates today teach differently. A parent is going to take the belt, the rod of correction, and they're going to bring it to a child. The Bible said beat them, but don't kill them. But like I say in today's society, well, let's give them a time out. Little Junior, you stand over there in the corner. I had a sixth grade teacher, man, do that with me. I got caught sticking my tongue at her. I was in fifth grade. I got caught sticking my tongue at her, so she made me stand up in front of the whole classroom. I'd keep my tongue stuck out for an hour. She'd turn around the board, and I'd go, class would laugh. Yeah, I was good, wasn't I? I know you'd never done that, right, Brother Kirby? They used to take and whoop us then. They'd take us into the principal's office. And I tell you what, I could still hear that paddle whistling. It had holes in it. I was a non-smoker when I went in there. And I come out smoking. I think y'all know what I mean, huh? I believe in that stuff. I think it's necessary. Okay, so if I'm speaking naturally speaking, I say we used to have discipline in the public school system. They'd whoop your hind end for chewing gum, talking back to a teacher, being late and tardy and different things and defiant. But now they don't do that. Look at the society now. Look at the kids today. So now if we're going to look and make an observation and we see the lack of discipline, and then we're going to bring it over to spiritual discipline. God uses the fivefold ministry to discipline. Judgment begins in the house of God. So we could talk about that, but I'm going beyond that. I'm going to talk about God. And what is His plan, His purpose, and His desire? In my early years of aviation, everything was training. I'd say, we're going to fly over here. Here, kid, you fly. It would have been just not, man, I used to love to get in an airplane by myself and go all over because everything had to be so perfect. And I'd go over and go, just look at this, man. I'd be wallering this hole in the sky. I'd be doing this and going up and down and flying and just, I mean, I think, man, it felt good just to fly. You know what I'm saying? Because everything was precision, perfect. I think we do that spiritually sometimes, don't we? Uh-oh, somebody says, oh, help me, Jesus. I believe in perfection. When you want to make it into the kingdom, you better hope somebody believes in perfection. That's what the fivefold ministry sent for perfecting the saints. Read it for yourself. They're sent for perfecting of the saints. I know the Bible said that Jesus came and perfected us once and for all by His works at Calvary. That's Bible. I don't need you to perfect me. Preacher, Jesus done all the perfecting. Then why did He send me? You see, He done the perfection. And He's perfected away and sealed that inner man in and hid him away, and He's perfect. But now we've got to take through works, through labors, through pressing our way into the kingdom, through fighting the good fight of faith, through endurance, enduring hardship as a good soldier, for being a mighty man of valor. Now we're going to talk about your part to be a man. Well, you need to take care of me. You need to pamper me. You need to do this for me. You need to do this for me. You need to take care of this. Man, you a sissy. You see, I go talking about training. If we're talking about learning to fly or we're learning to fight or whatever, somebody's going to press you and push you and expect. We don't like it. And Andy Beach is a perfectionist, man. I'm sick of it. You know, never can do a job good enough, man. Oh, you left a hazy spot. Oh, you left a kicker. Oh, you left a crooked grout line. You know? Thank you, Andy. We got to learn to perfect. We got to press. If we can subject ourselves and endure that, you're going to come out better. You're going to come out an employer that is worthy of maybe being his own employer. by training and learning. You got to learn. But when we shun it, when we run from it, we make him bad or the other trainers bad. It just ain't fair. It ain't right. You just missed out all kinds of things. We have to learn to look at things and understand why those things are. There's so many things that could be taking place in our lives and we're not seeing it because we don't have eyes to see. Or because our ways are right, as the Bible said, in our own eyes, but they lead to death. Our ways are right in our own eyes. But then yet, if we would look at what our own ways have done for us, and we see nothing but a pattern of failure in our life, wouldn't you think that we would have enough wisdom, my friend? Wouldn't you think that we would have enough wisdom to say, wait a minute, you know, my way hasn't been working. You hear me talk about Einstein? And Einstein says you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting different results. He said that's the definition of insanity. How many of you have been insane? I know I have. You never have because your ways are right in your own eyes. But I got my eyes opened up to the mind of Christ and I said, me as a man was insane. Keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, expecting different results. You know, I go home, tell my wife how stupid she is, and she gets mad at me. Gosh, you know, I done it yesterday and last week and 2 weeks ago, 4 days ago and this and that. Man, the results, and she's mad every time. Okay, we'll keep on doing it, you insane. Insane. Okay, we'll just leave you. You're insane. You're stinking insane. Once you get the revelation of it. Sometimes we learn obedience by the things we suffer. Thank God for suffering. What we're looking for is the obedience. What is it going to take for us to come to the obedience of God? What is it going to take? You know, we pray like sissies. Oh, God, take care of this. He says, shut up, you take care of it. God ever told you shut up? He has me. Shut your whining mouth. I'm looking for a man here. Quit your whining. How many of you have raised children up and you got the same little kid coming up? Johnny took my popsicle. Shut up, man. Quit your whining. Well, it's not fair. Johnny took the popsicle. What's wrong with you, man? Do something about it. No, I'm dealing with a whining punk right now. Shut your mouth. And then they go get another one. You take it away from them if you're a real dad. Come on, I'm telling you to teach them. You got to break that spirit off the child. You know, all parents, if something's going wrong or something's going on, they like a child to come and say, hey, you know, little Junior's in there with the wood-burning tool man carving in your headboard, you know, writing his name, you know. You like it when Sissy comes, hey, you know, when Junior's got his name burned in the headboard. You like to hear them kind of reports. But then there's a time when you got a little kid that's just a tail-bearing little tattletale, tattletale, tattletale all the time. And pretty soon, shut up, I don't want to hear it. The headboard's on fire. I don't want to hear it. You got to stop the spirit. See, the spirits start forming when they're very young. Everybody else sees it, but they don't see it. This kid's got a whining spirit. This kid's got a troublemaking spirit. This kid's got a tail-bearing spirit. But the rod of correction drives the spirit far from the child. So now when we step into another perspective, another realm, the Apostle Paul said, I father you in the gospel. Right? So the thing is, what's he doing? He's travailing to bring forth children. It's a travail. The woman's saved in childbearing, but the men are in travail with them to bring them children up, to raise them up, to nurture them, to bring them forth, to bring them up. But in our culture, in our day, and in our time, People don't like discipline. They don't like chastening. They don't like correction. This is why the workforce is in sad shape. This is why the prisons are full of people. This is why the welfare system's overloaded. This is why the tax burdens on the entrepreneurs or the working people is overtaxed and overburdened. Because we've got a bunch of programs that are going on that are enabling these kind of devils and spirits. And then we got the churches that are telling people that God loves you just the way that you are, that you don't have to make no modifications, you don't have to make no changes. God's just going to bring you right into the kingdom, just like you are, because He loves you. That is the biggest bunch of ignorance that ever been spoken. God can't stand you. He looks at you and you're a stench in His nostrils. If you could come to that revelation, you'd approach Him differently. Oh, but I'm the apple of His eye. He loves me. He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. I understand that side of the doctrine too. But you're going to have to learn, because you're applying it to yourself in your first birth, in your intellectual mind, in the studies of your religion. I tell you, it's tough to take people that are well studied in the Bible and get them born again, because they're depending on their intellect. They're depending on what they think they know. Like the Bible says, you think you know, but you don't know what you ought to know. If you knew what you ought to know, then you'd be walking in the Spirit, walking in the victory, walking in the power. But when there's failure in your life and all around your life, and in everything around you's been a failure, then you don't know what you ought to know. And then when you already think you know everything, you can't learn. Let's talk about the tile trade. We've got many tile guys in here. The hardest people to train to do tile business want to know a little bit about it. Well, don't insult me and tell me how to run that cut board. I chewed my teeth in on one of them suckers. That's what Andy said, man. I my teething ring was a margin trowel. Help him, Lord. If anybody could have the right to say that, it might be him. Them Beaches were little old kids dragged out on the job sites. Thank God for real dads. His boy Drew, at 12 years old, I'd rather have him as any 18-year-old man on the job, because he was trained to know how to work. Kid knew how to work. So we're talking about spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers and fighting against these powers of darkness. You see, we can get so spiritual and we could think that we're a great man of valor or man of God, and then yet we got nothing but weakness, everything sticking out around about us, and we're failing most miserably in the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. I remember ministering a message here in this church a few years back, and I was talking about the master of deception, Satan. I've been doing it for a while, ain't he? You say, oh man, greater's in he is in me than he's in the world. I said, yeah, you keep quoting that. That's okay, that's the word of God. That's the word of God, and we need that for strength. But I heard that scripture quoted more than about anything throughout the religious world, but they're being destroyed and ravished and molested and raped by every unclean, foul devil that comes along. Now let's talk about the power of deception. You say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, but let's talk about the greatness of this guy in the world for a moment. He's taken over everything. Can you agree with that? Are you going to magnify the devil here? No, I'm trying to teach soldiers how to fight him. And if you keep quoting the scriptures, that greater is he that's in you than he's in the world, but that guy in you is trying to teach you how to fight. When we think of the seven sons of Sceva, they, oh yeah, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, hey, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? We think we got a magical little thing in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, there's power in that name. I've exercised using that name. I've had times, man, I was in a trance or a vision. And I mean, I was knotted up and I'm awake. And I was knotted, man, and I mean bent over. And I was in a travail. God was showing me another brother that was in his church spirit and what he was going through. I mean, in the things, because he thought that he was the greatest brother in this church. And tried to control the preacher on numerous occasions. Tried to control through finance, and he was a big giver. Cut off finances thinking that the preacher was going to change. How stupid can that be if he's a preacher? But I went into this vision in a trance, man, and I was just being doubled over with pain. And I started saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke. And the Lord allowed me to feel the physical pain, because what the man was going through looked the most perfect revelation I'd ever seen. Because when I first went into this thing, I thought I was seeing the most beautiful, perfect revelation of the mind of Christ. And it was all events that had happened in this church. It was people and personalities, and it was the most beautiful allegories put together in such a sequence of people's lives, of things that happened, and it looked just like the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I mean, it was the most beautiful put together, and he was so convinced that he was right, and every brother in his church was wrong because of the allegory. And the Lord took me into saying, I was getting convinced by these familiar spirits. I was being convinced in this trance by these familiar spirits that, man, this is the mind of Jesus Christ in Revelation. And all of a sudden, this pain started coming in my midsection, right in my gut. And I started bending over and I'm watching this thing. And it was like I was awake. It was a trance. I was wide awake. And all of a sudden, man, the pain started coming. And more severe. It felt like someone was sticking a knife in me. And I was doubling over, and I'm in my bed, I mean, in severe pain, and I started trying to get it out in the name of Jesus. And then finally the spirit broke. I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and then the Lord started unveiling to me what I was watching. He had to bring the pain, because I was saying, God, if this was the revelation, why would there be so much pain in it? And he was showing me the spirit of deception that was moving this brother. And it was one of the most beautiful move of what would appear to be the Spirit of God. It was so convincing to me. And then this thing, and then when it unveiled, and the Lord started unveiling it to me, showing me. And it's the absolutely thing that failed him. We came out here and stood on this corner right out here. Every man that was in this church, and we said, I came out here and stayed all night and prayed all night. Had no means of buying this place. They wanted $130,000 for it. It may as well have been $1,330,000. Didn't have no finance money, but I come out here. And when I was told about it, I said, man, there was something clicked in my spirit, and the Lord started dealing with me. So I thought, well, okay, I came out here and I prayed, stayed out here all night long. And then I got the brethren together. We stood out here on the corner and we prayed together. And the man put his finger in my face. He goes, you're wrong. He goes, this ain't God's will. And he said, you're going to come to me and you're going to have to tell me I was right. And he said, you're wrong. Every brother was in perfect peace and agreement about purchasing this land. I'm talking about demon spirits is what I'm talking about. Every single man was in agreement and one man opposed me. You see, I had the vision. I seen something in a vision. A trance to understand this man, what he was going through and what he was in. Dear friend, brother. But the Lord was showing me some dear friends and good people, moms, dads, wives, husbands, brothers and sisters, give place to devils. And they'll think they're so right in their own mind. Their man's ways are right in his own eyes. And they're so sure. But they don't know what they ought to know. They think they got vindication from God. I got prayer. I got peace. I got scriptures. Let me tell you something. A preacher with the Word of God is one of the most dangerous things there is. Bless God, I'm defending the Word. I've been there, my friend. I'm saying, wait a minute. I got Bible for what I'm doing. And I'd be so dogmatic and I'd stand so strong. Don't you get my way, you stinking devil. And all of a sudden the Lord start breaking through this hard-headedness a little bit, saying, now hold on a minute. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And a wise man concealeth the matter. See, I used to be one of them foolish preachers that thought if God showed me something, I was supposed to speak it. He could show you some things and you can't always speak them. Sometimes you have to conceal it. You have to veil it because it's more than they could bear. The Bible said he won't put out more on you than you could bear. He could show the preacher, for he could help you with the load, but you couldn't bear it yourself. See, we get too mighty, too spiritual, too lifted up, too puffed up. The haughty spirit comes before the fall every time. When you get lifted up in yourself, you're going to crash every time. Every time. The Bible said your judgment, and I got a track back there, and it teaches you how to judge. Teaches you have to judge. But the Bible says when you judge, you're guilty of the very same thing. And when you're judging this brother and you're judging this brother and you're judging this man, God just put them there as a mirror for you. You could see your failure. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to help you. When are we going to break the curse? When are we going to break this curse of doing the same thing over and over and over again? Somewhere we got to break it. How do we break it? By facing it. By standing and not moving. When we've done all as we just read in Ephesians to stand, what do? We continue to stand. But when we run, we're a sissy and a wimp. I'm sorry to talk that way, but that's what happens. And it's going to happen again and again. And you think that because of your prayer life, you think you're going to have this great prayer life, oh God, and he's going to fight your battle for you. He doesn't fight your battle. He teaches you how to fight. He said that you are more than a conqueror. You want him to conquer for you? He conquered death and hell for you already. Conquered death and abolished it. He's given you everything that pertains to life. But why did he send you the Holy Ghost? For you could sit around and pray? No, he sent you the Holy Ghost for you could fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Have the endurance and endure the hardships like a man. And press your way into the kingdom. Fight your way. But we got this sissy religion. Sissy religion. Sissy religion. You know, well, I'm going to pray. You know what? Most of the time when people tell me they got to go pray, you know what they're doing? It's just an excuse. I'm saying, you stinking hypocrite. You ain't going to go pray. You're just appeasing yourself. Somebody comes and says, man, brother, I've got myself a little problem. You know, man, and you know, I got some things that, man, I see some daylight just ahead, man, but got myself in a little bit of a problem, man, and I need a little help with some groceries. Well, praise God, brother, I'm going to go pray about it. Shut your stinking mouth. You ain't going to go pray about nothing. You're a stinking hypocrite, and you're using a prayer for an excuse. You know, if we're led by the Spirit of God, God's going to say, well, come on, let's get him some groceries. Let's do something about it. Now, if he's a reprobate and he's out spending his money on dope and booze and women, and he says, well, you know, I got a little troubles. Good, lay in your troubles, my friend. Waller in it for a while. If you're a sluggard, get hungry a little bit. Maybe you'll go work. You get hungry enough to start working. But we got enablers called welfare and food stamps. You know, well, they're enabling these bunch of sluggards. Here, man, have some of this. Take this on. Have this. Come on, that's not what the system was designed for. It's been perverted. So we're talking about deception for a moment. Deception. This whole American system is deceived. And Satan, the Antichrist, okay, has taken over America. Well, you can't. I'm an American. You can't talk like that. Well, you're deceived too. I'm a son of God. I know people hear me and they think I'm anti-American. No, I'm not anti-American. I'm a son of God, and I'm not here in the stead of America. I'm here in the stead of Christ and his kingdom. And I'm just saying, get your trust out of the government of America. Get your trust out of the military powers of America. You know, God showed us that a couple camel jockeys with a stinking pocket knife took some of our transportation and turned it into weapons. Huh? They didn't have a big bunch of millions of dollars to go buy some of this radar equipment and buy all these missiles and buy all this stuff. They took some of our airplanes with a stinking 39-cent knife and they flew them into the towers. That's a sad thing. But God was showing America, hey, with all of your great advancement, with all of your great technology, with all your great soldiers, you're saying just walked right in among you. Killed 3,000 of your people just like that. Come on now. So you're going to put your trust in your military? You're going to put your trust in your government? Come on now. What are you going to put your hope and your trust in? There's only one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what He's going to allow? He's going to allow you to suffer. He's going to allow you to travail. He's going to allow you to go through tribulations and persecutions. You know why? Because He loves you. And He's going to teach you. I like men. I like dads that teach your little boys to be men. Some of these little boys have been taught too much by mamas, and daddies need to be taken a place. Brother George told one of the brethren in our church, he said, "Brother, you need to let this boy out there and get with some of the men. You need to let him hang out with some of the men. You need to let him get around some men. He's too feminine. He needs to be around some men." And we got men that need to be around some men. Some real men. Men of valor, men of God. I know we can go into the beast realm and we say, "Man, don't mess with me, man. You don't know what you're messing with." So, yeah, I do. You're still a devil. Come on now. You see, I'm not teaching you to be masculine with some kind of masculine with arrogance. We got to know how to kill that thing out and wipe the spittle out when you really like to smack them. I'm not talking about that kind of masculinity, but in the spirit realm. You know, I heard something as a kid that never made sense to me. It said it takes more of a man to walk away from a fight. That never worked with me. Thinking, yeah. But you know what? I understand things differently. You know, to serve Christ today, it takes a real man to endure the hardship of a soldier for God. You might be bad and tough and macho and you could do this and do that. But let me tell you something, it takes a real man to serve God. It ain't for sissies. Amen? All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemy be at peace with him. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How many men are walking that trail? How many people are caught in religion? And they think that they're pleasing God and walking in God's ways, but they're in their own ways. You see, we as religious people have created a religion that fits us. This is the way I believe it is. This is the way I believe it. I was home with a preacher today. Come up in a Pentecostal realm as a child for many years. He goes, "I remember the days that you couldn't wear a colored shirt. Had to be a white shirt and a black suit." Brother Pike, my pastor used to be that way. You remember that, John? He was too young. Was you there at that time, Chuck? Pictures. There's a church over here, and if a woman wears a red dress, she is automatically a whore. That's their doctrine. If a woman comes to church in a red dress, she's a whore. You say, "What are you going to do about that?" Leave it with them. They can have it. When we visit, my wife ain't wearing no red dress, bro. Now, I can start talking about some of those things. The Bible said not to depart from the tradition of the elders. And you say, "Well, you know, I just don't think." But if it offends them, don't do it. This is where we got to come to some understanding. If it offends them, then we don't need to do it. And if we're not careful, brethren, the liberties that people think they have, and a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit more jewelry and a little bit more, then pretty soon we're gone. We're sucked up just like that. A little necklace, a little bracelet, watch, ring. Ring on this hand, ring on this hand. I got some preachers put me in hell for wearing a wedding ring. But I keep telling myself, so good looking, if I don't wear this, all the girls will chase me home. It's okay to laugh. That was a joke. It didn't work when I gave him that excuse too, so, you know, don't worry about it. I tried, man. See, we can get into a lot of doctrine right there. I have a man telling me that because I allow the women to trim their hair here, he said, aren't you concerned for their soul, Brother Rob? So I went into doctrine with him. But I told him, I said, I'm not trying to convert you. You're just accusing me of not having no good understanding that I'm not concerned for these women's souls. You know how I feel about a woman cutting her hair off. I don't like it at all. But I've got many friends, good friends. Brother Jim Schumach's a dear brother. He's going to be ministering here in our camp meeting. Me and him are good friends. He don't believe a woman could touch her hair with a blade. And we're still good friends. We'll remain good friends. I got a lot more Bible than he does for showing camp, but I'm not going to try to convert him from that. It's the way he raised up, and he don't need to remove that landmark. He don't find fault with me, and I'm not going to find fault with him. And we go with it. Another brother I'm dealing with, I said, brother, if I felt like the Lord was going to have me move to his and be part of his church, he would never hear a word out of my mouth about the doctrine to allow a woman to trim her hair. I told him this, and I told you all this. I like his doctrine better because I'll have sisters pressing me here wanting to keep shortening it up and cutting it and shortening it up. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. But to me, it's an offense for a woman to have her hair way down past her hind end. I'm sorry. That's more offensive to me than one with a cut to the mid-length in the middle of their back. You know why? Because it's a projection, and a woman isn't to be projecting her image. I'm telling you, brethren, I showed out here in the parking lot the other day, a guy walking, I said, you cock your hands this much? I could walk across platform, you think, no, but I just cock my hands. Just all it is Brother Rob moving his wrist this much, and then I walk. Doesn't it look totally different? Just a little hand gesture changes something. Taking your hat and twisting it sideways on your head, making a statement. Taking a normal pair of pants and dragging it down here a little bit, it's making a statement. So, you know, we need to understand that. There's things that we can do that make a statement. You can roll up your sleeves a certain way, you know, put your chest out just a little bit, it's making a statement. I know, you know, you see, there's body language. I'm sorry there is, but there is body language. It says a whole lot. We could study psychology, and we can get so dependent on psychology and our own wit and our own mind about studying the disposition, so to speak, of people, and we think we got revelation. We think we got discernment. Well, I discern the spirit, Brother Rob, man. You know, man, he ain't right today. You don't have no idea what you're talking about. But like I said, a man and woman riding in the car, this right here means a whole bunch, don't it? A woman can be sitting there right here, and all of a sudden you said something across her, that much of a turn of the shoulders right there is a big statement. It's screaming, I'm done with you. You're cut off now. You're shut off. I do not hear you no more. Right there, that much. I'm serious, man. That's the truth. Yeah. You're laughing. Look, she's got her shoulder bent at you right now, boy. I don't know him. Sucker's laughing in church. He ain't mine. Amen. So, you know, as ministry or as ministers or as Christians or as people, we need to understand some things. The preacher, oh man, you know, he's legalistic. He's been preaching this, preaching that, you know, trying to tell us how to dress. If I'm going to dress that way, it's because I want to. I ain't going to listen to no man. You're on your way to hell. You need to submit to doctrine. You need to submit to headship. You need to submit to authority in Christ. And even when they're wrong, God will make you submit. Nobody wants to hear that, do you? The preacher could be wrong, and God's going to put you there and make you submit, for you could break a devil off of you. The Lord's going to do things to you, and you'll sit there and be right in your own ways, in your own mind, and how wrong that preacher is, and you're not going to submit to it, and God made him that way. I said it from the sacred desk the other night, that sometimes I say things because God says, you know what, you need to prog that stinking devil until the man gets rid of it. Let me tell you something. If, man, Brother George was an expert, I'm telling you what, you come to church and you got that devil buried way down deep in there, and you come to church and he'd pick it up. Here comes that old devil out of the basket. Is that the devil tune? Did I have it right? Hey, I had it right. I seen that on the cartoon. No, I'm telling you, he would do that, man, and that old devil come up out there. You ever see that, Chuck? He was a master at it, wasn't he? He was good at it. Woo, boy, he got one out of me too. He would do it. He had a way of bringing that thing. You know, you got to get the devil up out of there. Preachers could be gifted at that. Be poking, 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 and all of a sudden that thing rises the head up. Man was sitting about where Jonathan's at. Brother George is preaching. Boy, Brother George, man, he was antagonizing that dog with a stick, throwing rocks at it, just like a little kid teasing a beast, throwing rocks at it. And this dude's sitting there getting mad. Man, I mean, his teeth were going, man. And Brother George is up there preaching, man, with a smile on his face. Well, I'll tell you what, we're getting that devil, boy, tonight. You think I'm kidding? I'm telling you. I was there. I was sitting right next to that devil. I'm watching the whole thing. And the preacher, come on, preacher, man, leave the guy alone, man. You know, you're going to get him upset. Brother George says, you know, you're sitting there, you're so mad, you'd like to hit me. He goes, go ahead and stand up. Come on, stand up. Tell the preacher. And boy, that dude jumped to his feet. And when he jumped to his feet, that devil he had, I mean, said, you stupid sucker. You're going to stand up in front of this Holy Ghost-filled man of God? And as soon as he stood to his feet, that devil took off. And the guy's standing there going, I'm a devil. I know I'm the devil. Hell, the devil had it out. You know what his devil was? You know what you want to talk about? You know, what's your name, Satan? Legion. You know what this one's name was? You don't hear it? You know what it is, right? Dallas Cowboys. That was the name of the devil. Dallas Cowboys. He said, I don't believe that. Well, Brother Pike said, that's the devil who's going to put him in hell. He said, you'd be all right with God, but it's the Dallas Cowboys going to put you in hell. Well, bless God, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I'll watch it. I'll still be in church. You're still a Dallas Cowboy devil. You know? I don't put nothing before my God. I got preacher friends say, well, you know, I could do this and it ain't before my God. And they'll sit and complain about the people in their church staying home on midweek services watching ball games. What do you think they're going to do when the preacher's talking about watching them and talking about the scores right before church service? How can you get upset for missing a service for going to a ball game when you're talking about the ball game yourself? Probably wishing you was there. Huh? Come on. So what are we talking about tonight? You see, we are so right in our own mind, so right in our own ways, and we sit and analyze everything according to our own thoughts, through our own ideology, our own theologies, and we sit there and reason everything, but we're still on our way to hell, and we're still the one that's failing. I made a statement the other day, if I was going to teach y'all to fly an airplane, okay, and I'm in here pouring my heart out teaching you about flying, about aviation, how to do this, how to do that. And Randy Gilbert comes up and says, I'm quitting. You know, stinking Jonathan, he's over there, man, and he was talking about flying airplanes, and he was on his Texan machine. And he was Texan. Pepe Le Pew over here, man, he was talking to his girlfriend.
Never mind, we're not going to talk about what Henry was doing. But
I'm going to leave this church, or I'm going to leave this teaching. This one's going to fail, this one's going to fail, this one's going to fail. I said, what did you come here for? You just look forward and you listen to what you're being indoctrinated with and what you're being taught, and you'll leave with a certification. But we start looking at everybody else's failures, and the only reason God's having you do it for you can see your own anyway. But when you come to the real revelation is when you start esteeming your brother greater than yourself. That brings such a joy in your life. When you start loving everybody and esteeming them better than yourself is when it brings a real pure joy in your life. Because you're not in competition. You've already come to the revelation they're better than you, so it removes the competition of you trying to be better than them. And you see these people, man, and they get in sword fights with the Word of God. They're just looking for superiority. They're not concerned for souls. They're not concerned with growing in the grace and knowledge of God. They're not concerned for the betterment of that person. This whole purpose of the sword fight is to make them superior than you are. Oh, God will have his way and he'll teach you how to fight a little bit and get you a little bit of training. But that's just all child's play. But when you learn to love that man and you're more concerned about him. If you could come to a revelation that you could be wrong, you'll find a lot of growth there. My dad was a pilot. There was a guy in his hometown that he was the Red Baron. He's the only one that shot the Red Baron down anyway. I mean, this guy, man, with all the women around town, all the girls around town, he came back from World War II and he was an ace pilot. Man, he had all these things, this and that. So my dad comes into town. He goes, come on, let's go to the airport. He goes, let's go flying. They're walking out to the airplane. My dad took the keys out of his pocket and went, shot him over to him. The guy caught him. He goes, you're flying. The sucker didn't even know how to get the key in the door. Come on now. But man, to everybody in town, he was the ace pilot. Shot more Red Barons down than anybody, huh? You know what I'm saying? Just running his mouth. But now, why are you talking about that? Because that's the way your Christianity is. You always got the right things to say, and you're polished, and you're going to talk this and talk that and talk that, but you can't fly the airplane. Where's your performance? I lived in Missouri long enough to say, show me. Show me. Show me your endurance. Show me the valor. Show me the strength. Because God is going to put something in your face to toughen you up, to make you more than a conqueror. The Bible said we're more than conquerors. So you're going to do more than conquer something. You know, you conquered something's one thing, but to be more than a conqueror. Come on now. So I'm going to go back to this in closing thought. I'm going to tell you how powerful the devil is. Well, don't you do that. Don't you give him no power. He's got it. He is the prince and the power of the air. He is the god of this world. Now, it's very obvious he's got this world under control. Is that correct? The Antichrist will even make craft to prosper. So we see that he's got everything. He's got the churches of America. He owns all the satellite broadcasting and religion. They won't even let a real man of God on there. Go in there, go on Trinity Broadcasting and see if you can get a message about the revelation of Jesus Christ on there. Just try it. Try to go in there and preach about holiness. They'll let you on there when you mock holiness. They'll let you on there when you go on there and get into your doctrines. It's okay for a woman to cut her hair off and to put on her tight pants. Oh, God made them that way. Come on now. He's got the broadcasting system. He owns Hollywood. That ought to be obvious. He's taken over all of the denominational churches in the world. That was one of Brother William Branham's strongest messages, get out of the denominations. He's done taken over all the denominations. Now the Branhamites have turned their thing into a denomination. As much as they were taught not to, they've turned it into a denomination. Try to get in their circles. Just try it. Try to walk with them. There's only one way. There's only one way they'll let you in. They've lost their respect for the great man of God, Brother William Branham, because they've turned it to their own ways. And they think their ways is right. And it is right in their own eyes. But it leads to destruction. I talked about my pastor's work, Brother George Pikes. And I think about these great leaders and great men that raised up under him, with him for many years. And he'd stand in his church with several hundred, and he said, I can count you on one hand. One hand. Is that frightening? One of the most powerful men of God that I'd ever met. Maybe you met one more powerful, but he's one of the most powerful one I ever met. He said, I can count you on one hand. You ever see him do that, Brother Chuck? I seen him do it more than once. I went to him the next day and said, who's the other four, Brother George? You arrogant rascal, Brother Rob. I did do that. And he said, that's exactly the way you need to think, Brother Rob. You could be arrogant, but then you've got to somewhere get a hold of faith. When I was doing all that I knew to do to live right, doing all I knew to do to walk, I was doing everything I knew to do to submit to the man of God and listen to him. I took correction and reproof and rebuke and exhortation. So I did everything I knew to do. God said he wouldn't put more on you than you could bear, but it's when you're in rebellion to the word and to God. As I made a statement, and we're going to close, if Brother Randy said he was coming here to learn to fly, and I'm an instructor, teach you to fly, and everybody in this class is failing, and he's the only one who gets a certification, that's what he come for, to get a certification. So if ones are failing, I told another man that has fought me and fought me and fought me over and over and over and over. I said, Brother, I said, if you've got the revelation of this and got the way, why don't you help me? Why fight me? You know, I mean, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. I mean, even the great nation of America said, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. So what about the kingdom of God? And I mean, if you see something, you know, the thing is communication. Hey, I'm not in agreement with this preacher. Well, let's talk about it. Am I violating the scriptures? Am I violating the word? Or am I violating your ways? I have troubles jumping in another man's ways when his ways ain't been successful. That Brother Rob ain't no kind of pilot. Come fly with me. I said, well, you got 27 airplanes over here in the boneyard you tore up. I don't know how you survived it all. But maybe I'll ride with this guy for a while. Show me. Prove all things. Don't be just a hearer of the word. Become a doer of the word. Don't be a hearer only. Don't just profess him with your mouth and your heart be far from him. You see, this message here, this ministry here, this doctrine here is going to pull you to the line and it's going to prove you. Either get in or get out. Get lined up or get ran over. You see, I'm not following the religion of the day and the hour. And when I see people that were trained in the same doctrine with the same kind of mind, and I see them appeasing and compromising and allowances, it's frightening to me, I'm sorry, because I know where it leads to and what's going to go to and what's going to happen with it. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We can't turn from this. We come to a place that there is no turning. We can't turn back. We can't look back. We could talk about Lot's wife desiring some of those things. We can't look back, brethren. We got to go forward. We got to keep going forward. We got to quit looking for liberties. We can't take this grace to the occasion of the flesh, looking for the liberties in the flesh. That's what people do. They take the grace of God and they look for their fleshly. Well, there's nothing wrong with this. I can go over here and I could do this and I could do this and I could do this and I could do that. Just keep watching. They're going to be on the side of the road dead. They will be on the side of the road dead. Are you talking about naturally? Naturally would be better than spiritually. When the man was found on the Jericho road, the Bible said he was half dead and naked. So there's a revelation in that. How can you be half dead? How can you be naked? He bandaged up his wounds and took him into the place. You see, when people are naked, we read over here in Ephesians a little bit about the armor of God. When people are naked in the scriptures, it's showing they don't have the armor of God on. It also shows they don't have the wedding garment on. They climbed up another way without the wedding garment, and they're knocked down. They're cast out. Who cast them out? God does. You see, we take everything, brethren. This is where we go wrong. We take those kind of scriptures and we take it as a one-time final event. And, oh, it's, you know, this man, he's going to be there at the end, you know, and he's going to be cast out. Wrong. No, that's true, yes. But we gotta look at this thing in God is, was, and is to come. You see, you say, man, one day I'm going to be in the resurrection. You know, praise God, brother. One day, man, there's going to be this collective change and the grave is going to open up and the saints of God are going to come out. And I say, well, praise God for that revelation. But while you're waiting for that, you've lost your soul. You see, I am the resurrection. You need to say that. That you are the resurrection. If you're not the resurrection today, you won't be the resurrection tomorrow. The Bible said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. The world doesn't see us of what we are, but there's going to be a day that your body goes through the metamorphosis. And when your body goes through the metamorphosis, then the world will see you, what you already are. So what am I saying here? When you're looking and thinking and talking about this great time, up here and say, no, it's today. You are the resurrection today. While you're waiting on this resurrection, on you're waiting on this transfiguration, and you're waiting on this, you need to daily be killed every day. Well, you know, I got saved back in 1973. I gave Jesus Christ. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Got two goosebumps and my hair stood up on the back of my head. I said, man, you're pitiful. You know, praise God for those altar experiences. But what I'm saying, brother, we need to have an infilling of the Holy Ghost every single day. We need to walk in the Spirit every day. We need to take up our cross every day and resurrect every day. We kill Rob out every day. We resurrect every day. And when you decide to walk in your weakness of your mind and you decide to feel sorry for yourself and decide to feel that nobody loves you and all this kind of stuff, you're going to die and perish because it's the fruit of your thoughts. And it's the devil. Why don't you think on the things from above and start seeing what you could do for people instead of what people can do for you? A great president one time said, it's not what your country could do for you, it's what you can do for the country. What happened to that saying? But this is what we've done with religion. You know, Brother Bo, I want to see if you're a Christian. Give me some money. Hey, Brother Bo, I want to see if you're a Christian. Loan me some money. Hey, Brother Bo, fix this and do this for me. And hey, Brother, you know, you need to do this for me. 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 I ain't going to do nothing for you because you're a stinking devil. You need to grow up and get grown up and start walking like a man and start being part of an army and walking arm in arm, hand in hand, not piercing each other through nor breaking ranks and become part of the army of God and become a soldier for Christ and quit resisting against the powers. Amen? And start being part of the solve. Come on. It's just gospel. Amen? It's called being a man of valor. A man of God, a man of righteousness, a man of holiness, a virtuous man. And you say, well, what about us sisters, Brother Rob? Hang on to that man if you got one. He'll take you right into the kingdom. Amen? When you're a woman and you don't need a man, you're in most severe trouble. God's way. I don't need no man tell me what to do. I got this thing worked out. I'm going to make it right on in. I say, you're a whore and on your way to hell. Come on now. There's an order in God. There's an order. There is an order in the Lord. I feel for some women because their husbands are sissies and they don't know how to command and lead their homes. And I feel for the gal because she feels like there has to be some leadership and headship in home and they take that place and they think that they're following the lead of the Lord. And there's times that God allow that. I heard Brother Pike say it himself. He said, there is a time that the Lord will allow the woman to take authority over the man in the house. I heard him say it myself. And I thought, wow. You know, I feel a lot better about my wife now. No, I'm kidding. I love you, babe. Somebody said that Sister Irene was running this church up here. And I thought, gosh, I wish she was. It'd be a lot easier on me, huh? And She is a helpmate. She does help Brother Ron. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? I know it's getting late. Just wanted to talk with you. I'm challenging you. I'm taking my time, just reaching for you a little bit. Say, are you talking to me, preacher? To every single one of you. Every single one of you. Amen. Well, Brother Rob, I've been doing real good. This good. I'm stirring up that pure mind in you. Keep on doing good. Amen. And when you're doing good, you'll help somebody else do good too. You see, brethren, we got to be in the same mind, not pierce each other through. We got to think the same way, judge the same way. You understand that? And what's going on here in this sacred desk needs to be going on your job sites. It needs to be the same mind, the same revelation going on the job site. Then we become a team. If you have a commanding officer, a general, and he's got the arm and he's got this platoon over here and this platoon in this section and another one over in this section, and he's imparting an army plan. You see how well these men have got to be coordinated? They're going to go into different parts on the map, different sections, but they all got to be coordinated to meet at the same place. And that's called training, submission. But when you got one that's going to, that general don't know what, man, this is a better way. You've just killed your men. You've just destroyed the men. There is an absolute unity in an army, and they have to be. They've got purpose, they got plan, and they stick with it. Sometimes in training, things would ever seem so repetitious. You know, when they'd shut an engine off on me, there was the same procedure every time to fly it on the other one. There was a repetition of doing the same thing over and over. And then when the emergency come, it was automatic to you. You knew what to do. The man at his engines quit. He said they called him a hero. When he landed that airplane in the river down there, he said, hey, I just done a textbook landing. That's what he done. This is what I was trained to do, he's saying. This is what I was trained to do. And you know what happened? This is what we do. This is what we're trained to do. As Christians, we're trained, my friend. But when you resist the powers, you can go read it in Romans 13 and find out what happens to you when you resist the powers of God that are set behind the sacred desk. Very clear. Very clear what happens to you. You say, oh, well, you're trying to put fear? Yes, that's the beginning of wisdom. You need some fear of God. You know, I don't take advantage of the power. I don't take advantage of your lives. Some of you may have been with me for many years. Have I taken advantage of you? Have I demanded your finances or your money? You got a sovereignty? The only time you hear me pressing you in the areas of finance is when I see you're in financial trouble before you can get out of it. By teaching you how to get yourself out of it. By being obedient to the scriptures and the word of God. Brethren, we got to think the same way. We got to come into the same mind. We got to think the same way. And when you see the opposing forces, I don't care if it's in your home. I don't care if it's with your wife. I don't care if it's with your children. I don't care if it's your parents. You're going to make a stand. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. So if it puts a sword against you and your mama, you and your daddy, so be it. Stay with the word. Stay with the revelation. This isn't about Brother Rob. This isn't about Christian Temple. It's about the Word of God. Amen? And when you get lined up with the Word of God, you'll have respect for Christian Temple, and you'll have respect for Brother Rob, because I got respect for you, and I love you, and I lay my life down for you, and I give my time, my substance to you. I expect the same thing out of you. This is the way we work as a brotherhood. I don't project myself of being greater than you. I don't project myself that, but I have been called to preach the gospel, and I've got to exhort. I've got to bring a sword. I can't hold it back from blood, the Bible says. Woe unto him that does that. And there's a time as a natural father, Brother John, I had to paddle my kids when I didn't want to. I didn't like it. You know, I'm working all day, come in tired. Mama says, hey, man, this was daily. Robert was a jerk today. Oh, just like you, ain't he, babe? There's a time that you conceal the matter, Brother Paul. Just be quiet. He can't even think quiet, can he? Brother Paul? A little shoulder twist. I don't study psychology, but when you watch things by the Spirit, you'll see those things. Hopefully we're watching by the Spirit, not by the outward expression. Let's take heed to what we hear, brethren. The purpose of being in church is that we can come into one mind and one accord. There was a great infilling of the Holy Ghost when they come in one mind and one accord. The enemy wants to keep us from being in one mind and one accord. And when you have people on your jobs, Brother Andy, Brother Randy, Brother Ed, whoever you may be, and they're not in one mind and one accord, it's your obligation to bring them into one mind and one accord. If you can't bring them into one mind and accord, then you're in the wrong aspect of this ministry. When you take men to work with you in this church, you're taking a ministerial position. You're taking a leadership position. And you say, well, Brother Rob, we just got businesses to run. Well, then go do your business someplace else. I mean that with love. We're not about your business. We're about the kingdom of God and winning souls. You utilize your businesses to help the work of the Lord. The Bible said we labor that we have to give. That's why we labor. What are we giving? Our life, our substance. We're giving everything to the kingdom. And when you get selfish and you're looking for your business and your affairs, now a wise man's substance is precious to sight. Your business should be precious to you. You've labored and worked and you've built it, and it should be. But remember, as Brother George said, a man come to give him a vehicle one time. He said, Brother, he goes, look, I want you to just keep that, but give it unto the Lord and utilize it for the glory of God. He said, once you be the steward of it, you give it to me, I got to be a steward over it. But why don't you take it and be a steward over it? You know, Brother Magus, here, Brother, I want you to have my business. And I say, I ain't got time for your business. You keep the business and run it as unto the Lord and utilize it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, if it ain't for benefiting the kingdom, then you're in the wrong realm. Everything's about Jesus. You could talk about your previous successes, but where are they at today? Because God will blow on them unless they're His. Everything is His. The Bible said, give your life as a living sacrifice. So if He wants your life, what do you think He wants you to do with your business? But you see, we want sovereignty. We've got sovereignty, but you got to give Him your sovereignty. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You say, not my will, but your will. You just gave up your sovereignty, my friend. And you say, ain't nobody going to take my sovereignty away. And that's why you'll go to hell. You say, Lord, not my will, not my business, not my desire, not my wishes, not my wants, yours. Give it to Him. But then yet, when you're right on the threshold of Him really blessing you, the enemy's going to come in because he wants to control you. He wants to kill you, wants to destroy you. I've seen so many times people right on the threshold of some awesome blessings in God, and the enemy's going to come in and rob them just like that. I remember sharing the story with y'all. A woman come to me and she said, Brother Rob, man, would you please pray for me? She was living off out of town. She wanted to be close to the church. She said, would you pray and ask God to help us find a place over here? And I prayed. There was a place that opened up just like that. But she couldn't wait on the Lord and went and done something totally different. I've seen people, I got to have a car, and they should have prayed and said, Lord, lead me to the one I want or the one that you want me to have or help me. But this one popped up in their face and they jumped on it. They thought, man, praise God. And see, they were sitting there thinking, God, they done that. They desired, they done it. But if they would have waited one more day, God had one for half price or maybe even to give it to them. But they didn't listen. They were too haughty, too fast, too spiritual, too overconfident, and their ways were right in their own eyes. And they were doing it in their own ways. And when they did it in their own way, guess what they thought? They got the car that they prayed about. And they said, man, God answers my prayers. Hallelujah. He never even got to answer your prayer because He was trying to teach you to wait upon the Lord and to walk in His counsel. But you got arrogant or you got too fast and you went and you moved and you thought you got the answers from God, but you done it your way. You got it? And you say, well, nevertheless, I got it. Yeah, but let me tell you something. When you got the one God had in mind for you, it's much better than the one you got. You know that? I drove a lot of brand new cars. Brand new from a child. I started buying brand new cars. Drove brand new cars for years and years and years. Man, I'd been stripped down, and I got a car. I bought it for $5 at an auction. God gave that car to me. I was in need of a car. And you know, God gave me that car, and I'll tell you what, I had more reverence and respect for that $5 car. I'm sorry, it's 50. I bought another one for $5. I took the $5 one, drove it to the wrecking yard and traded it, drove it there and traded it for an engine and transmission for another pickup I had. And the one I bought for $50, I brought it home and I drove that. Amen? But you know what? That was God saying, I'll make a way for you. What can I do with $55, Lord? I got two cars. $55. But you don't try to convince me a little bit before. I can't even talk to the banker with $55. The banker's going to laugh at me. But you see, if we could learn to follow the Lord. But we get in his way, Brother John. We get it all worked out in our own mind. And we got it all worked out and we get haughty. Man, I've been doing this a long time, man. Let me tell you something. I say, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You're ignorant. You need to start and let him do it. Your way don't work. And even if your way does work, he's going to blow on it because you ain't doing it his way. That's the kind of God we're serving. That's the way it is, I'm telling you. That's the way it is, I promise you. I know that for a fact. I ran. The Bible said a man running and beating at the air. I've done that for years, my friend. Thought I was doing something for God. Oh, there was accomplishments made. There was things that people were praising Brother Rob for the accomplishments that I was doing. And all God wanted me to do was submit. That's it. Let me tell you something. God put a call in my life. But I wanted to be a pilot, an aviator. I still wanted to have control of my life, but do something to please God. I wanted to do my own thing, and I was busy, Brother Andy. I was working in churches in the ministry of helps, working under pastors, doing youth ministries, and doing different things. And I mean, we were seeing people save this and that. And I was doing everything because I said, this is what he's called me to do. And I was busy and running and busy and running and busy, but there was something wrong. And one day this preacher come, a missionary from another country, and he was doing a service. He had an altar call for people that would submit, you know, to the mission field. Man, I tell you what, I felt like a heathen in a Baptist church. You know them long Baptist altar calls? When all eyes closed, every head bowed. If you've never been born again, come on, that works. You ever been in one of them services like that, shaking under the power? I ain't going up there for nothing. How's that Baptist heathen, man, I tell you. He kept tarrying and tarrying and tarrying and tarrying and tarrying and tarrying. And I said, I ain't going up there. But when I did, one of the biggest loads broke off of me. Because all I did is say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm going to quit running. I'm going to submit. I don't care what you do with me. You know, I'll be a janitor. I think janitors are great, so don't misunderstand me if you're a janitor. But that's where I was at. I said, man, I'll do whatever. Doorkeeper in the house. I mean, I just submitted. Boy, it took a big load off. But see, I was trying to keep my life, my control, doing what I wanted to do and do what I thought he wanted me to do. I was right in my own eyes, my own ways, and I was running and pushing. And I tell you, I looked like I was burning the fields up for the Lord, and all he wanted was full 100% surrender. It's hard to find a man to do that. Talking about me. Talking about you, it's hard to find a man that'll 100% surrender to the Lord. Well, Lord, I'll serve you, but I'm going to get my house built first. Lord, I'll serve you, but this is what you got to do for me. If you do thus, us, and us, then I'll serve you. Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. Man, you just cursed yourself in the biggest way ever. When you ever put one thing before doing something for God, you say, God, you do this, and I'll do that. You're cursed right there. You are cursed. He ain't going to do it. He'll make allowances for little babies to get out of their diaper. He'll let you poo on yourself. And he'll breathe it with you. You think about them mamas having to change them nasty things. Whew. Brother Paul right here, mama went to town. He had to stay and change a diaper. Goes out in his pain truck, gets some big old respirator on, big old stinking. Poor little kid in a diaper, man. Thought stinking the Martians were there raiding them. You know? Really filled the diaper up. My God, there's a monster here. Goggles, stinking face. Is that what happened, Paul? Okay.
I've seen oxygen tanks.
Oh, help us, Jesus. Y'all love the Lord?
Let's stand together. I know it's late. Just reaching for souls. Amen.
Brethren, let's submit to the army. Let's submit to the word. Let's submit to God. Amen. God has good things in store for us, but we got to submit. We got to quit working it out in our own ways. We got to do it His way. Amen. His way is much better than my way, Brother Ed.
The Bible said man's ways are contrary to God's ways. But what we do is we make our ways look spiritual and we think we're going to appease God and make Him bless us. It just said man's ways are contrary to God's ways. Quit trying to do it your way and do it His way. I like the old saying, they say, my way or the highway. And that's exactly the way it is. Your way is the highway to hell. Your way is the wide, broad path to destruction. Your ways, a man's ways, are right in his own eyes, and it leadeth to death. Death is on the wide, broad path. Amen? So, brethren, let's take heed and be cautious and be careful what we're listening to, what we're hearing, what we're doing, how we're doing it. We got to be so cautious. We're teachers. We're trainers. We're laborers. We're workers. We're evangelists. Come on, brethren. We're servants of God. We're men of valor. We're soldiers and warriors. Amen? A good soldier for Christ. Amen? How you like boot camp, Brother Henry? Amen. I'm not sure if I want to answer that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You might not like the drill, Sergeant, but one day when you're not on friendly soil and you're in the battlefield and the bullets are flying and the bombs are flying, you're going to appreciate a man that pressed you for more. And when you thought you gave all you could, He pressed you to give a little bit more. For you can go beyond your limits. See, God is going to push you beyond your limits as a man. You got strength as a man. You got will as a man. You got power as a man. But let me tell you something. He's going to push you beyond your power. And then you'll start exercising the real, genuine strength of God. The Bible said, contend for the faith, to press for the mark of the perfect man, Christ. So we're finding ourselves going beyond our religious contributions, beyond our tithing, beyond our church attendance, and He's pushing us for more. And go beyond, brother, where we're exercising faith. You see, brother, if Brother Randy said, Brother Ron, I want you to go on a 250-mile bike ride with you, I better start getting ready for that. Because this hog's probably going to get about 2 miles down the street saying, oh, God, somebody called a wambulance. I want to go back home. But you know, I got to contend. I press for it. I got to start riding a little bit every day and get some strength up. You see, doesn't that make sense in the physical realm, brother? You know, instead of just going for it, but some of you, man, praise God, man, hey, I'm ready for burn up the evangelistic field and stuff. And you never got your diaper off. You never got out there and went down the road a little bit. I bet you I can ride that bike farther than 2 miles. Are you going to challenge me? You ain't going to do it, are you? Little skinny sucker, little fat boy will beat you. Y'all love the Lord? Let's sing a song or two and we'll close service. Take heed to what you heard tonight. Don't let it slip at any given time. Brethren, we're the servants of God. We're here for a purpose. God has sent us here for a purpose. We're going to press, we're going to push, and we're going to fight. And we're going to need one another. Let me tell you something. You might not like that guy at boot camp too much. You didn't like his attitude, you didn't like that. But when you're on the battlefield sometimes, he might be the only guy to put that hand down in your gut to stop the blood. He might be the guy to throw you up over his shoulder and take you out of harm's way. You need to love your brethren. You pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. And when you're continually finding fault, Brother John, with the brethren, continually and continually and continually, you've already failed God. You have already 100% failed the Lord. How can you love God that you have not seen when you can't love a brother that you do? I preached a message 3 years ago or so. It says you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. You don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And Brother Bo, if I don't think God could save you, He surely can't save me.
If I don't think God could change Brother Henry and clean him up, he can't do nothing for me. He reached down to the uttermost when he found Brother Rob. And, you know, I could oh, man, my God's so good. His mercies endure forever. But how come I can only think that's for me and not for my fellow brother? Amen? Come on now, it's for my brethren. It's for every single one of us. It's the grace and the mercy. That's the only way we're going to make it in, my friend, is by the grace of God. Amen? It's by the mercy and the grace. And we're not going to take it to lascivious, and we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand, saints of God. Amen? All right, let's sing a song or two. We'll close. I'm sorry to keep you so late tonight.
My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul.
Thank you, Lord. I feel His wonderful presence. Amen. Can you feel the wonderful presence of the Lord? Amen. Can you just fall in love with Jesus? Can you just be in peace? Sometimes we got to take and learn how to just flip a switch, and that mind is just running and running and running. And tormenting and running and tormenting. You got to learn to get in the presence of the Lord. The Bible said you commit your works unto the Lord, Brother Ed, and then your thoughts could be established. You got to commit your works unto God. Commit your works unto God. Then your thoughts could be established. Amen? When your thoughts are continually running, running rapid, running wild, you'll die, because He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. Amen? You will perish. Amen. You need to think on His things. Amen. You need to learn how to love one another. Amen. And how to prefer your brother better than yourself. Well, that's a revelation right there, and it's hard for a man to come to. Amen. A man's got to learn to come to that revelation. He's got to love his brother greater than himself. Love his brother greater than himself. We got to learn how to do that, my friend, or we'll perish. We will die until we learn to do that. Amen. No more. Hallelujah, Jesus.
My rest is complete
while I sit at your feet. Spirit, sweep over my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for peace. Father, I ask you to help this, my brother. Strengthen him, Lord God. Anoint him with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Oh, Father, let him examine his thoughts, Almighty God, and learn to think on the things from above, Lord God. Oh, Father, I ask you to hedge him and protect him, Lord God, that the enemy can't come in with that snare. Father, I claim this, my brother, for Jesus, all the way, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we won't fall in the same snares ever again, Lord God. To walk in the victory and the power of sound doctrine, sound mind. Oh, Father, help this, my brother, Lord God. Restore and strengthen and anoint and gird up and build up. Oh, Lord God. Father, teach Brother Kirby that he needs to put his hand in the hand of the army general and walk with him. Oh, Father, help him. strengthen them. In the name of Jesus. Restore, Lord God, what the enemy has robbed from him. Oh, Lord God, all things work for the good of them who love you, Lord God. Oh, Father, as the enemy tries to snare him, tries to hurt him, tries to harm him, tries to kill him, tries to destroy him, Lord God, let him pick his head up, look towards the heavens, and rejoice and praise you, Lord God. Oh, Father, let him know that he's in an army. That if he could stand and stay strong with the army, that nothing could touch him, Lord God. But Father, we know outside of the realms, outside of the camp, there's destruction and death. Help him, Jesus. Help him, Lord God. Brother Kirby, brother just had a vision. And he said he saw these fences going around, and the Lord made him know that this had to do with the third heaven. And the wolves were outside the fences. Am I saying that the vision showed that the only place of refuge was right here at Christian Temple? Not that small in mind. But I tell you what, there is something to it, though. Brother, this is a place of refuge. Mount Gilead is a place of refuge. If you know anything about the refuges in the Old Testament, you could have murdered somebody out there. But once you come into the refuge, you are protected. The person that was seeking you for vengeance for taking the life of their family member couldn't touch you when you was at the city of refuge. But if you ever stepped outside the gates of the city of refuge, they could do anything that they want with no charge laid to them. If you step across the fence, they could take your life and they would be innocent and free. But they couldn't come into the refuge to touch you. I told Brother Paul, that's what Christian Temple had to do with for him. Right here on Mount Gilead Church Road, amen. Had to do with the refuge for him. Every time he crossed that border and goes back to the land of his kindred, same thing over and over and over again. Back into the same snare, the same thing. I'm not saying this to embarrass. We got to come to a revelation of what we need. Paul needs a brotherhood. Amen. He can't do it on his own. He's failed on his own too many times. He needs a brotherhood. Brother Kirby, I need a brotherhood. I need a brotherhood. Jesus needed a brotherhood. When he came and walked among men, he said, hey, come follow me. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. He needed a brotherhood. That's what he did. He showed us the example. Brethren, we got to fall in love with one another. And no matter how weak my brother looks, how much of a failure looks like, we got to love him and say, I need you, brother. I need you. We need one another. Brethren, I need you because in your weakness, God can bring strength. Amen? And we get to this critical ethics and we just look at each other and we use the beast mentality and look for the weaknesses and the failures of one another. Yes, we're called to perfect, but brethren, we can't get so busy in trying to perfect one another that we quit loving one another. When we love one another, we're not going to step on them because of their weakness. We're going to gird them up in their weakness and strengthen their weaknesses and love them and help them and strengthen them. Amen? We've got to learn to fight. Not one another. Fight against the principalities and the powers. That's what we got to learn to fight. We don't fight against one another. I've read in the scripture, the first one I read, our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. And even when you have a flesh and blood family member that seems to be your enemy, you got to look beyond them and say, no, they're not my enemy. It's the spirit that they're giving place to. And love that person so much, not to put the person away, but put the spirit away. So you love them and teach them to recognize the spirit, that they can get rid of the spirit. You understand that? They got to get rid of the spirit. Oh, we could take and cast it out. But let me tell you, why the Bible says to lay hands on no man suddenly. Because what many times that spirit gives them a strength. It really does. It gives them a strength, a supernatural strength. And when that thing leaves, they feel vulnerable. And that's why if that house has been swept clean and the Holy Ghost isn't there, it said it'll go get seven more and come back. And we've got to wait until we get them girded up. Get some strength in them. Get a taproot down in there where the winds of doctrine ain't going to move them. get a taproot down in them where they could stand strong, unmovable. Amen. This is what we're doing. We're building men of valor here. Amen. And I need your help doing it. Every one of you have an important part of this place. This ain't a Rob Coons ministry. This is a brotherhood. Amen. And I'm looking to see the same mind in every single one of us on the jobs, the workplaces, don't matter where we're at. We got to be in one mind and one accord, not piercing each other through. Amen. Submitting one to another. Well, I've been here longer. You're going to submit to me. Come on. I'm going to show you my love for you by submitting to you. Jesus submitted to my needs when I was in sin. He laid down his life and went to the cross for me. And I was a wretched sinner. He submitted to my needs. By doing that, can you submit to your brother's needs? But you look and think you're better and you can't submit to him? And you got to submit to him and love him and help him. Now we're talking about winning souls, amen? That's how we win souls. The enemy wants to destroy. He wants to kill. Amen? We all need one another. Amen? Y'all come to that revelation? We got to have each other. I need every one of you. Amen? I don't look at people like, oh, you're indispensable. I don't look at things that way. I don't look at things that way. But the thing is if you love the devil that you got more than you do God, then the devil will take you away from here. But I'm going to do everything I can to reach you before then. Amen? Let's continue to worship the Lord. Amen. What's up, young ladies? This girl, man, got way bigger and taller than mama. Man. Brother John, you better just stand in there, boy. You don't try to take authority over mom because you're a little taller than me. Okay. What's up, sis? Yeah. What's bringing it on? Talking about the weather, the trees right now, or do you know? So the food allergies or the allergies from the air? Sheets. Huh? Yeah. Okay. We're going to anoint this sister with oil, going through some physical infirmities. Come on, brethren. Let's pray for this sister. Here's some oil. My soul. You know, we seek the Lord. You're doing the right thing. That's what we do. We come into altars. We seek God. If it's allergies, any infirmities physical, if it's heart, if it's lungs, mental, don't matter. We seek the Lord first. I sought the Lord for things and wanted a supernatural miracle. And you all know He supernaturally healed me of some incurable things. But then there's been times I sought Him. And He told me to do something. He said, this is what I want you to do. He put demands on me to do physical exercise years ago. And He said, if you'll do this, your problem will go away. And He was exactly right. I got off the medication by physically disciplining myself. And there's times God will put a physical, He'll put a demand on us. Am I telling you that's what He's doing? I said, well, that's what we need to listen for. You see, you come into the altars for prayer. And you say, well, preacher, lay hands on me and pray and cast this thing away from me. We can do that. But we follow the leading of the Lord. But sometimes we also use wisdom. Body's wonderfully made. You know, there's some people that might have a peanut allergy, but you're talking about allergies. And you know what the thing is, we could pray that God could take that away, but we could also give wisdom, stay away from peanuts. You know what I'm saying? Mama said she don't know what this is caused from. God knows. So we're going to pray and trust for this thing to depart you, where you don't have to deal with it. And we could expect that kind of a miracle, but also we need to be sensitive and listen to God. Sometimes God allows things. Now tonight's message, we're talking about learning to fight. You know, God could miraculously heal you in any time. But sometimes God will heal you instead of give you a miracle. the difference in a healing and a miracle is a healing is many times you're standing in faith and believing, and you keep speaking it and believing it, and you'll start seeing a gradual. When you cut yourself, it's healing right now. The blood's squirting out of your arm, but it's already started healing. It'll start to coagulate the blood, and then it'll start to close up. It'll start to scab. Oh, it's still sore, but you're already healing. See, a healing in the mind of God is the same way. You say, I believe by faith He's healed me. And you speak it, and you keep doing it. The element's still there, and you say, No, I believe. Now He's conditioning faith. And you're believing for something that you haven't seen yet. Faith is invisible. But when we keep standing for the invisible, it'll become a substance, and all of a sudden, the fruition of it or the vindication of it is there. And see, many times God will take somebody because He's more concerned about faith in their life than He is about the element. And sometimes the element will cause you to walk in obedience. It'll cause you to press towards the kingdom. Sometimes the suffering will bring obedience, according to the Word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but sacrifice is going to bring obedience to you. We keep praying and wanting God to do it all, and He's saying, man, what do you think I am? You're the servant. You do it. Serve thou me. I choose this day to serve the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, Lord God, I thank You for this little sister right here in the name of Jesus. Father God, not knowing what this infirmity is. Father, I know, as even Mama said, there's more than what's spoken. But Father God, knowing that You've made this sister, made this body wonderfully made. But Father God, I know that You want obedience, Lord God, to Your word and to Your voice. And Father God, as this little sister learns to exercise faith, Lord God, over the infirmities and the elements, Lord God, over the sickness and the disease, Lord God, the things, the iniquities, the generational strongholds through family physical infirmities. Father, as she learns to fight and to train against those things, Lord God, it's a message again tonight. Lord God was teaching us to fight. And Father God, I pray that the endurance of the Holy Ghost and the strength to stand against every wile and everything of the darkness of Satan. Teach her to fight. Teach her to believe. Teach her to expect. Oh, Lord God, we know that You're still in the miracle working business. I feel the virtue of God. And I thank You for that, Lord God. And I expect a miracle. But Lord God, there's something greater than a physical touch, Lord God, and it's the endurance of faith to fight the good fight, Lord God, to take her rightful place as a young lady in the gospel. Lord God, to endure and to stand and to stand unmovable and stand strong. A woman of valor, Lord God. A virtuous girl, Lord God. Oh, Father, protect her. Hedge her up, Lord God, with Your word. Anoint her with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Teach her to stand and believe, Lord God. Raise up in a home with a godly mother and father. Oh, Lord God, let her take her rightful place and learn to pray and to fight and to travail and to press in Jesus Christ's name. Thank You, Lord. Seems like tonight's message is teaching us to quit praying and start fighting. You know we're not going to quit praying. The Bible says we can pray continually. But if we're praying, we're listening. Our prayer life's got to go beyond, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, to listening. Prayer is listening, getting direction, and walking in it. We want to pray and God to do everything for us. Believe me, brethren, God moves for us. He helps us. He heals us. He delivers us. And He makes a way when there is no way. He makes the impossible things possible according to His word. But let me tell you what He's looking for. He's looking for us to take His hand and fight and to walk and to submit and to listen. Amen. To take heed and to go and to press and to push. Amen. We're lazy, Brother John. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And He said, let's go. Follow me. Walk in obedience. I'm going to say this. And final thought, we want God to give to us, and we ain't put anything in. It's like the little kid that went to church one night, him and his dad. They didn't get the report. The church was closed that night due to bad weather. They showed up. They sat back in their normal spot. Dad pulled a quarter out and flipped it to his little boys to go put an offering basket. He went up and dropped the quarter in the plate. They went back and sat down. Nobody ever showed up. They're getting ready to leave. He said, son, go back up there and get that quarter. The kid come up and got him, brought back to Dad. He said, you know, Dad, it would have showed you if you would have put more in, you would have got more out. There's a revelation to that. You say, well, Brother Rob, I believe in the grace of God. So do I. And God will outgive you every time. But sometimes, brother, and I'm going to give you scripture for what I just said. If I can't forgive Manny for trespassing against me, God can't forgive me. You see, I got to sow forgiveness to him if he wronged me for me to get forgiveness from God. That's the Bible. The Bible said we have the power to bind things in heaven and on earth. And let me tell you, I could bind the forgiveness of God up in heaven by being carnal-minded and not forgiving my brother that's trespassed against me. I just bound God's forgiveness up in heaven. Come on now, that's the Bible. The Bible said, if I can't love a man that I do see, how can I love a God that I can't? And how, so I control what happens in the heavens. See, people don't, they just want to sit around in their laziness and pray, God bless me, God fix me, God heal me, God do this for me. And he's saying, why don't you start sowing? Why don't you start sowing into my kingdom? Why don't you start sowing, and then when you're in need, you can draw from the account. And you say, man, you're all about works, ain't you, preacher? And I say, yay and amen. It's about works. It's about works, amen. Because the Bible said your works will perfect your faith. And without faith, it's imputed to you as sin, and sin is death. So if you don't have works, you're going to hell. It's that simple. You will go to hell without works. Perfect your works unto God. You see, the lazy people, the lazy preachers have got a doctrine, and it's the Bible, that we're saved by grace, not by works, and no man can boast. That's the Bible, but you better understand it. That's when you think that your labor is going to get you in. We're going to get in by grace, but that grace through faith. Faith is by works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. That's Bible. So if you ain't got works, you ain't got faith. You know that? Now you can have works without faith, but you can't have faith without works. It's impossible. You can have works without faith, but you cannot have faith without works. And when you think you're so spiritual, you got so much faith, but you got no works in the ministry, you are lost and most miserable. Amen? I'm telling you, it's automatic. That's the way it works. You okay, young man? You need anything? You got everything you needed? Huh? Let's pray for him together. He wants to pray for his uncle. He said he used to be in the Lord, now he's not. He said he's trying to drag his aunt out of church into the world. That's what the little brother said. Let's pray. Say, that report may not be quite accurate. I think it's accurate. Amen. If a man ain't serving God and living right, he's going to drag his companion right out into the same thing with him. Amen. There's sisters that can fight. Hold on. Press in. But they need a man. Let's pray that he could be a man, Brother Henry. Would that be okay? Let's pray that the guy, he's a big guy, isn't he? He's about as big as your daddy, ain't he? He's bigger than your dad? Well, you know what? If he ain't serving God, you know what he is? He's a sissy. Tell him I said so, okay? Real men serve Jesus. You ever heard that? All right. So let's pray. You know what? I don't care how big a man is. I got a brother that's 6'7" that could pick me up and throw me 100 feet. He's done it before. 100 might be a slight exaggeration. But you know what? He's a tough guy in the world standard. But when a man runs from God and cowers down to the devil, it's like Dale running across the parking lot with a chihuahua. Turn around, kick him. Amen, Dale? We got to press, we got to push, and we got to fight. Most gracious Father, as we stand, together tonight, unifying and believing in this one thing. Father God, it's a report from a young man, a child, Lord God, saying that this man has departed the faith, trying to take his wife. Oh, Almighty God, I stand right now in faith and believing, Lord God, as this little brother stands in prayer for this family member. Father God, I ask you to wake him up and shake him, Lord God. Shake him until the feelings come out of his head, Lord God. Shake him, Lord God, until everything breaks loose. Every demon and every devil and every stronghold, Lord God. Wake him up before it's too late, Lord God. Father God, I ask you to protect the little sister, Lord, that she can be grounded and sound and hang on and fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, just reminded me, I put a word over that little sister in camp meeting. Do y'all remember the word? I believe I told her the Lord showed me that he's going to bring him in. Did I tell her that? Amen. Some come in, kill your ways. Amen. But let's believe that. I believe in the spoken word. That God's going to drag him in. Amen. You say, oh, God's real gentleman and he just woos by the Spirit, knocks on the door, asks to come in. And so I say, yeah, I know that. But let me tell you something. I know the other side of that thing too. Amen. And sometimes we come in through suffering. Amen. Sometimes we could have walked in obedience, but obedience was better than the sacrifice. And we may not be able to walk in. We might have to be carried in, brother. Amen. We might have to come in with crutches. Amen. We might have to have somebody help us in. Amen. But we're going to come in. Let's believe that and trust and believe. Amen. Y'all encourage your sister. Encourage her in the Lord that boy's day's coming. Amen. Don't lose hope and don't give up faith, but make sure that you're praying that he won't drag her out. Amen. That she's going to be unmovable, a virtuous woman. Amen. I like the woman that the Lord told her to fix her husband, the alcoholic drunk, and feed all of his drunk buddies when they come in after partying all night. He said, go in there and love them anyway. And just love them anyway. And keep loving them. And started loving them and got them all saved. Amen. That's what a virtuous woman does. Amen. I ain't going to do this for you because you made me mad. You ain't ever going to win them like that. The Bible said you win them by their chaste conversation. Amen. And keep loving them. Keep loving them. And keep loving them. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Man, it's 10 o'clock. I'm getting y'all ready for camp meeting, man. Praise God. Getting you warmed up a little bit. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.